From Capital Broadcasting Company and WRAL-FM, welcome to Wine and Dandy, because wine is fun and we intend to prove it. I'm Sarah King.
I'm Jamie Caskey.
And we are delving into the world of eau naturelle wines, natural wines. It's this new trend. You couldn't understand my French accent.
Just in case, not everyone speaks as fluently, wink, wink, as you do.
Do they laugh in French?
I think we all do that.
So this is a new trend that I've been reading about and seeing on menus, the natural wine trend. And so I thought, who better to ask than my wine expert, tall drink of water husband, Eddie.
I hear him blushing. I can hear it from here in these headphones when you called him a tall drink of water.
Hi.
Thank you for taking time between tastings today to help us understand the natural wine world.
Oh, yes. Happy to share.
So, Eddie, have you already been drinking wine today?
No, I have not.
You
I'm
don't
just
have
looking
to,
at it.
You don't have to lie because I'm on the line. I'm not going to be upset.
Eddie, have you already been drinking wine today?
So, Eddie, what is natural wine? I mean, doesn't wine come from grapes, and aren't grapes grown from the ground, and isn't the ground part of nature?
It's a new trend, but it is something that's been around actually since the 60s. It's a little more of a philosophy. To break it down the most simply, natural wine is wine that has nothing added and nothing removed.
Oh, nothing removed.
How does it differ from regular wine that we would be drinking?
So typically, there's really no governing body or regulations on what defines a natural wine, but it basically breaks down to wine that is made from organic or biodynamically grown grapes. The wine is fermented with the natural yeast that is in the environment as opposed to a selected yeast. And then it is typically unfiltered and unfined, therefore nothing removed.
Why don't you define fining for us?
Typically, they'll add like some bentonite clay or like even like egg whites to help like clarify, so it draws out kind of particles and whatnot.
Jamie just made a face when you said egg whites, but you know that's how they use egg whites to pull out all the impurities in the broth, and then it floats to the top and you skim it off.
I did not know that. I just leave soup in the fridge overnight and then I just hack it off the top. But you know, but that's fat mostly though, so I may be confusing
and then
my
you
references.
Make a, and then you do a facial out of
it. Sour grouse. Oh, you know, and he mentioned that it was natural yeast, so it's kind of like the sourdough of winemaking, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's typically the bacteria that's actually naturally in the environment in the, you know, the cave or the cellar in which they are fermenting. So it happens at its own pace, so you are not actually, you know, what's called inoculating the fermentation product happen naturally.
Now, how does natural wine then differ from biodynamic wine?
So biodynamic is just a farming practice. That's kind of it's separate own step, if you will.
Well, and I know, speaking of sourdough, that sometimes when you make sourdough bread, you often get disastrous results. So I'm wondering if it's risky to actually make wine this way.
Absolutely. So typically they'll add a little sulfite with most wines to help stabilize them, especially if they're going to be traveling across the ocean, you know, from Europe to America, per se. But when you have all this bacteria and all these yeast particles and microbes in the wine while it's in the tank, and then you bottle it without filtering it, you still have all these particles in there, in which case you're at the risk of, like, more bacteria forming and the higher risk of spoilage. So it's a little bit, it is a risky business.
I can't wait to
investing.
Taste it.
Do you think, has there ever been cases of like vineyards having to throw out an entire vintage?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, that's something we have come across with my company, one of our other producers that was from another distributor. However, another importer, we had to disregard an entire vintage of wine.
Wow, that's so risky.
Is this like the Russian roulette of winemaking, Eddie? I feel
it totally is. It's like it brings danger back to wine drinking.
Ooh,
wow, okay.
Do like a little danger with my sipping. Do you think it's worth it though in the end?
It's it's become a kind of a, yes, it's become a trend. It's become a fad. But it is, you know, drinkers have been become more conscious about what they're putting into their body, even with it when it's based. And, you know, there's a lot of wines out there that are mass produced and they add all kinds of additives and to make it taste a certain way or give it a certain color. So you kind of don't know what's in some wines out there, but this way, you know, from beginning to end, you have a very pure and natural product.
Well, Andy, one more question. Well, I'm sure we'll ask you many
like,
more.
Who are you kidding?
I don't want to commit to that. because it seems predictable, a lot of times if you have a particular year of a particular wine, you go back to that vintage or that year or that area. It doesn't sound like with this you can, because you really, you don't know what you're going to get, right? Is that right?
Exactly. We have a much greater fluctuation of you know, of characteristics in what could be the same wine, vintage per vintage. But another thing with when you have all that bacteria in there, we have a much more alive bottle of wine. So it's changing while it's in the bottle. You will find some little inconsistencies per se, like within the vintage. That's half the fun.
Okay. I can hardly wait to try it.
Surprise, surprise.
Well, it's kind of like a grass fed
dirt and bacteria. Yummy. Let's go.
Go ahead.
Brettanomyces is like the main bacteria that.
He's a friend of ours.
Kind of detectable.
Our friend Brett.
What?
Brett of the Mycetes people.
Yes.
So you mentioned that, you know, people are being more conscious of putting stuff in there. And it's odd that you mentioned that because our next episode that we're going to do is on celebrity rosés. And we're going to be delving into Cameron Diaz's quote-unquote clean wine. And there's a whole laundry list of clean wines that are out now. Mm. And you mentioned additives. When you say additives, what additives are you referring to?
Sulfur, like SO2, is something they add at the bottling process, and there's different levels that they can add, like in order to stabilize the wine so it lasts a lot longer.
Okay.
And it kind of stays in basically a frozen point
stasis
of wellness,
yeah,
if you will. So it will not evolve in the bottle. It will only just get worse over time.
Delicious.
Are you saying, Eddie, that because so often people say, oh, sulfites give me headaches, blah, 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 this wine would be better for that particular person who believes that?
Yes, absolutely. There's no, like, sulfites do naturally occur in the process of in grapes and the process of making wine. However, the added sulfites, it is not totally scientifically proven that that's what causes headaches, though.
Let's just jump into tasting. Beautiful bottles, and since it's COVID season, we've done what you and I did when we were in separate places tasting wine. He's got his own set of wine in front of him from
nice.
The same bottles.
Yes.
Eddie, what bottle should we begin with?
We should start with the Il Frizzante.
Ooh.
The slightly sparkling one.
So. Oh, our eyes lit up. We
you know I like a bubble. Oh, that sound. All right. And I'm going to put, Eddie told me, he's like, as soon as you open it, make sure you put the lid back on because it's got to see very little oxygen. Because he's got to take it out for the rest of the day. So,
sure. Okay.
So we don't get to take these bottles home, Jamie. He has to actually use them
Eddie.
For work.
Okay.
Yes.
Ooh, it looks great. It's so bubbly.
Okay.
Ooh,
so let's talk us through this.
So this is a producer called Cascina Albaterra. So this comes from northern Italy in the Veneto region from our Soave producer. Soave is a region, sub-region. Cofale is the main producer. This is a cooperative project where they actually donate some of their land to a social co-op that works with immigrants and refugees. We have and they teach them how to farm and make wine. So this is actually a product of these folks.
How cool.
So that's cool.
This is made from the grape called Garganega, which is in this region. And this is a natural wine, and that is, it is unfiltered. It is goes through its secondary fermentation in the bottle, and that's where we get the fizziness from. It is called Il Frizzante. Typically, you would see Frizzante with Z's, but this is local dialect. So this is going to have a little bit of that sourness to it, since we have some of that yeast sediment. It almost comes across a little ciderish.
Yeah, I was going to say, I smell apple.
Yes.
Yeah, it's, and even the Garganica grape itself, typically that's a pretty common characteristic, is we get lots of apple notes. But this is, you know, a beautiful golden color. It's absolutely gorgeous.
What do you think? I was asking you to spit, not to dump your wine out, but I have more if you need more.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Okay. I like it. It's very light.
It is light. Mm-hmm. It is a little bit sour. While it is a beautiful color, and the first thing I noticed was the bubbles. Once those settle down, you do notice there's a little bit. I don't want to say sediment, but it's a little bit.
A little cloudy.
Cloudy. Yeah. Thank you. Exactly.
But the bubbles are so frothy. Yum 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 yum.
It's good.
I thoroughly enjoy that. I would dare say that a beer drinker might enjoy this wine.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yum yum yum. And yeah, the sourness. I think isn't sourness part of the natural wine profile?
That is typically something common we'll get is that yeast, that kind of the extra presence of yeast.
I think an IPA drinker would like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to give you that IPA mouth, as we like to call it, where you just feel like your mouth has been scrubbed out with a brush. But it does have a grippy sourness to it.
Yeah, the taste from the taste. My husband is an IPA drinker, and this has that residual taste of, for me, an IPA. Yeah.
Okay, and so can you find this in the grocery store?
No. You cannot. Independent retail or restaurant menus, which are barely existent at the moment. So.
Right, I know.
So independent retailers.
Believe me, we know.
Yeah. And this
how
is
much?
Probably this is probably retail around like $21-ish.
Okay.
Dollars. So.
It's really delicious. Okay. I love it. So before we get to the next two bottles brought to us by my tall drink of water, uber handsome, so smart, can you tell I like him, husband Eddie, we're going to go to a break and get a word from one of our sponsors and or one of our fellow podcasters. Okay, welcome back. Eddie, walk us through our next bottle.
Okay, this is a really exciting one for us. This comes from northeastern Tuscany in a little area called Pesciola. This is kind of in the Apennines out there. We have a little more clay soil. This is a biodynamic farmer who is a consultant, and this is his own project that he just started. He literally has about 1.5 hectares of vine. The production is incredibly small, and this is called Terre di Giotto.
Ooh, say it again.
It's called Terre. It means the lands of Giotto. Giotto was a very old, like, Florentine medieval painter and artist. So this is called the Nostrale Bianco.
Okay.
Means like our white wine. And this is made from the Trebbiano grape and the Malvasia grapes.
By the way, Eddie, what is a hectare? Break it down.
Yeah, you're using big words.
I was like, look at Eddie tossing hectare around like we know.
Yeah, is it an acre?
Is that?
A hectare is everyone else's unit of measurement, whereas ours is an acre. So 1 hectare is like the equivalent of, like, I think it's like 2.14 acres.
Okay. Thank you.
So,
all right,
if you want to put it in your head, it basically looks like 1 football field.
Yeah, so this guy has a very small vineyard.
Yes, this is tiny, tiny. This is a brand new little project, too.
I bet he drives
planted everything himself.
I see what
kidding,
you did
Eddie.
There.
I'm just kidding.
It's his midlife crisis wine.
Funny.
The nose is not too prevalent.
It's not pleasant. No.
It's kind of got a... It's almost got a musty feel to it. Not like it's cork, but like a...
I almost like you're standing way below the earth's surface in a wine cellar, a natural wine cellar, and you're smelling the air.
Yeah, it's got a musty cave smell. Can't wait.
I think this would be great.
this is a good example of something that, like, truly tastes like the land from which it came.
Dirt wine.
Little,
let's drink it.
You have a little, like a little anise almost in the nose. It's like that almost like slightly cooling element to the nose. The fruit's a little more subdued. But this is a good example as well of something that evolves. So, like, you could have this open for 2 to 3 days.
Oh, that's cool.
It will still be pretty quite interesting.
Jamie does not like it.
Interesting is the word I would have gone
with.
I like it. I think it tastes like somebody in the house burnt plastic and you walked through and that smell got in your mouth.
Wow.
And this is also something you would prefer to have with food.
Okay.
Very much a food wine.
I think it's delicious.
A porch wine by any stretch.
It's a little bit sour. It's got a good acidity. It's almost on the verge of being almost vinegary to me.
But you think it's delicious?
I do. I like it. I think it's balanced somehow. Like, I want to drink this whole glass.
Oh, no. My tongue is like, oh.
Well, I think that it kind of also, like, it has the old, hold on a second. We always put the dump cup directly over the electronics in studio just for added drama.
Speaking of Russian roulette with equipment and stuff.
No, and, like, I think like, actually some of the after aromas that kick up through the back after a sip, like, are kind of likened to like a scotch almost.
Yes.
So if you like some filthy scotch, like, this might be a good wine for you.
I think this is a nerd wine.
Guess
and
what
you
I don't like.
Tend to like nerd wine.
This is about as nerdy as it gets.
Yes. I am not, let's
I'm here
keep
for it.
I need you to keep it like Love Island level.
Well, if there's
non-nerd.
Any nerd Love Island. Eddie's so far from pop culture, he doesn't even know what that is. Well, if homie showed up in a Corvette, like Eddie just said, and like poured this glass of wine to you, when he pulls his Corvette onto his vineyard at the sunset,
yeah,
I bet you'd drink it.
Well, I'd be not in America or Raleigh, so yeah, I'd drink it. I'd be like, I'm so excited to be somewhere else. Yes, I'll have your nasty wine. Take me for a drive. But yes, that's the only situation in which I would drink a glass of this wine.
Well, this is one of the, I wouldn't say rare occasions, but I would say it's becoming less and less rare that we disagree on a wine.
True, that's very true.
Very, like, vehemently so. Yeah. All right, should we take another break? I know I said we'll get to the last two bottles, but this is going to be a shorter episode.
Yeah, so let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
All right, we're back with our natural wine episode, and we're talking to my husband, Eddie, who is a wine salesman for a distributor who distributes just French and Spanish and Italian wines, mostly Italian. Mm-hmm. So we're doing natural wine. What's our last natural wine that we're going to talk about?
Our last one actually comes from Spain. This comes from the area called Ribeira Sacra, which means the sacred riverbanks. So this is in northwestern Spain in the Galicia region.
Galicia.
Most noted for white wines, however. The reds, we have a red here from a grape called Mencia.
Mencia.
It's beautiful color,
Mencia.
Eddie.
You know, I'm a member of Mencia because I'm real smart.
Oh, yes. As evidenced by you getting the name correct.
Yes, and that terrible joke. Forgive me. Go ahead.
You're so smart. I'm so smart. So this is a producer, Di Ventura, and you'll see on the label it says Viña do Burrato. Mm-hmm. So that is the name of the vineyard site. He makes three wines, and they are all single vineyard productions, and this is a natural wine, so we have all organically farmed, as well as unfiltered, unfined.
It's not particularly cloudy.
No, it's not. It looks and smells the best, I would say.
Mm-hmm. A good thing to think about the cloudiness, like when the wine's in the tank, all that sediment settles down at the bottom, and when they rack this off the tank into a bottle, they're taking it from the top of the tank, so we're not necessarily going to get behind it.
Oh, I see.
Oh, very good.
The nose on this wine is insane.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited about this one.
Really gorgeous. This is all stainless steel, so no oak treatment.
Smells like candied apple.
Yeah. The first thing I thought was, candy. Yummy.
Yeah, Jamie loves candy.
I do. Very, very fresh, though.
Okay.
Extremely fresh fruit.
It has a clean smell, a nice, clean, crisp, fruity smell. I'm not getting any.
Oh, that's so good. Yum.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little dusty.
A little black pepper in there.
Yeah. A little bit dusty, but like
crispy dusty, if that's a thing.
Crispy dust, that's what I was going for. That's the word I was looking for, Jamie. You know.
It's like a clean dust bunny. Yeah. It's very good. I like this.
This is delicious. This doesn't require food.
A little thirst quenching almost.
Yes,
refreshing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, hey, yum, 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 yum.
Eddie, mm-hmm. How much would this bottle run you?
So this, as well as the Terre di Giotto, would both probably retail in that like $23-ish
dollars.
Range.
Okay,
that's yum. My favorite number.
Is it? Because Michael Jordan?
No, well, that, I did go to Carolina, graduate from Carolina, and I am a big Michael Jordan fan, but both of my sons were born on the 23rd.
Oh, well, look at that.
How about that?
All right, well, this I learned a lot today about natural wine. I didn't know much of anything about it, and I'm leaving here feeling a little more educated.
Me too. Eddie, thank you so much for sharing your wealth of information and for putting up with
pleasure.
Our questions and comments.
I thought you said with putting up with her, but you said R.
No, sometimes I text Eddie that separately.
Eddie, how you doing, buddy? She's a lot.
Yeah. How are you? I love you for this. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Well, thank you so much. We will post pictures of the labels of these wines. We have to rush them back to Eddie so he can get out there and sell, sell, sell. If you want to ask us any questions or get in touch with us, we are on social media at Wine and Dandy Podcast. And that's both Facebook and Instagram. We don't Twitter.
No, we don't. Not for this. For other stuff we do, but not for this.
No, I don't Twitter ever. I should Twitter.
Oh, I do. For Cornerstone Radio, but yeah. Not for this, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's my shameless plug. So, yeah, but we would love to hear from you. And, you know, I think people are getting maybe a little more adventurous the longer we're in this thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can't visit a lot of places, but you can certainly travel the world with wine. So if you've tried something that you want to share with us, please just drop us a note. We are really good at being responsive, and we would love to hear from you again. Same four walls for us. So really, any interaction.
Yeah, help us. I just had an idea. Maybe we could have a listener-suggested episode.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
So if we get enough listener suggestions, by all means, we will. We'll do an episode on that. So hit us up on social media, and we look forward to hearing from you. Until then,
cheers.